Well, I hope you guys are having a great Sunday morning. I know I sure am, and I know God's doing God stuff, so that's what we like to hear. Great job, Michael Sanchez, last week, and Jim Conser the week before. Yes, great job, Jim Conser, preaching and on a wild Sunday morning a couple weeks ago, where we had lots of God moments and God movements, and so preaching on hope. Preaching on hope, being people of hope. And so you get me again today. So we're back talking about the characteristics of God. God is. Do you guys remember what the last one was? We talked about it a couple weeks. God is compassionate. Yes, very good. God is compassionate. That's the last one. And so we're going to move on to the next one. And we're going to go back to Exodus chapter 34. The verses that we've been kind of springboarding from. And it says, and God passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious. Say gracious. The compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sins of the parents to the third and fourth generations. Again, one of the most quoted verses in the Bible by the Bible. So the Bible quotes this verse more than any the different writers of the Bible quote these verses more than any other verses in the Bible. So we're talking today about God being gracious. And I make zero claims on being a Greek or Hebrew scholar. I wouldn't even get in the entryway of the beginning of a Greek. So I take what other people do, I go to Blue Letter Bible, go to read what really smart people tell me to say, and then I say it to you, because you may not go look it up yourself. So that's part of what preaching is take available material, and hopefully we can apply it to our lives. So God is gracious. The Hebrew word for this, because we're in the Hebrew, the Old Testament is written in Hebrew, and the New Testament is written in Greek. Very good. So this is a Hebrew word, chanun. And it's if you've ever used any Hebrew words before, they got that. It's kind of disgusting, but it's part of the language, and it's that I don't know what the linguistic term for it is, but it's in the back of your throat. And so, chanun is the word for gracious. Gracious is, so the Lord is gracious. God is describing himself. These are his characteristics. Moses said, I want to see your glory. I want to know what you're really like. God comes out and he says, the Lord, God, gracious and compassionate. That's the first two things that he says about himself. He could say anything that he wanted because he's God. And he say, what did he want to reveal about himself? So the last two times that I talked, we talked about him being compassionate. Now we're talking about him being gracious. So I don't know if you guys remember the word from last time. Raccoon. Yeah. Kind of like raccoon, but rachum. Rachum. So compassionate. And it's in the same word family as the word womb. Remember that? The feeling that a mother has, that concern and that longing to see her children do well when they're in distress. Come on, any mamas in the house? When your children are hurting, you have compassion. You have rachum. So chanun is gracious. Rachum is compassionate. So I want to show you what this looks like not in Hebrew, but in our English translation of Hebrew. It would be Yahweh, Yahweh, El Rachum Chanun. If you were listening to someone say that, read that verse, that's what you would hear. And it's translated, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious. And so we're looking at that very last word, chanun, today. So, chanun is gracious, and that's what the word is in this verse. And there's also one of the word family. So if you're gracious, that means you have grace. Does that make sense? If you're loving, I have love, right? If I'm compassionate, I have passion. Okay, these are not trick questions. If I'm, I don't know what else, you get the picture, right? So, if you're gracious, you have grace. Like, so gracious is the adjective, grace is the noun. So, here's the word family, chanun and chen. So, So think of, you're going to talk about a lady chicken, and you just get something stuck in your throat. Okay? Is that a rooster? No, it's a hen. Hey, the best teachers take complex theological ideas and present them in a way we can understand. You can all talk about a lady chicken when you've got swallowed your cough drop wrong, right? That's what grace is in Hebrew. And if I asked you what grace is, all of us, if you've been in the church world for a while, we kind of rattle off kind of a generic, universal descriptor of grace is unmerited favor, okay? And that's, I feel like that's kind of like saying a sunrise is a circle of light in the sky. Like, it's true, but there's so much more nuance and meaning. So what I'm hoping today is to talk a little bit more about God being gracious. Hopefully pull out a little more nuances to give you guys a better understanding of that word so that that fuels our life as we're understanding who God is. Because when you interact with the Lord, this is what you're going to experience. Compassion and grace. We know those two things for sure because that's where we're at. So we want to look at maybe some of the English words, graceful and gracious in English, to give us a sense because the English meanings are directly pulled actually from the Hebrew meanings. It made its way through Latin and all the way down the line. So some of these meanings in English are actually legit meanings from the Hebrew words, chen and harun. Okay, so graceful and gracious. So if I say graceful, what are we talking about when I say graceful? If I said, Jim, that was not very graceful, what am I just describing that Jim did? What probably just happened? Stumbled, he tripped, he was clumsy, right? He was talking about pheasant hunting. I'm spilling the private beans here. Yeah, I'm just, because he said maybe pheasant hunting on ditches that have longer grass and sticks and... Maybe he doesn't do those anymore.
Holes,
yes. Go for, oh yeah. Oh yeah, he was talking about running through the... I love it when you're a preacher and you share someone else's analogy, right? Take someone else's analogies.
I always wanted to share it, so now I...
Right, and so this was recently, wasn't it?
Last week.
Hunting pheasants or just walking? You're walking the dog. Yeah, walking the... Or just walking.
In the field.
Walking in the field. Getting ready for... I knew pheasants had something to do with it. Yeah, preparation. Proper preparation.
Being graceful.
Being graceful. Steps in a gopher hole. And, right? So tries to make up for it and steps with his other foot. And it's a really long gopher hole. So step that foot in there, too. And I had not planned on using you for this morning, but there's ample material. So Jim did a splat. And we would say, Jim, that's not very graceful. It's not very graceful. And that's kind of what we're talking about when we're talking about graceful. Wait a minute, Pastor. I thought grace is unmerited favor. What does that have to do with Jim walking in it? We'll get there. That's why this is very nuanced, and it's really good. It's really good. Graceful in our English language and actually in the Hebrew also means moving in a smooth, relaxed, attractive way, or having a smooth, attractive shape. Jim, that wasn't very graceful. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? That was not intended. This is all just spontaneously being knit together somehow. Here's some literary examples. Let's move on to that. The gazelle is a swift and graceful animal. Have you ever seen the deer just hopping through the forest, and you're like, wow, if I did that, I would smash into a tree. And these deer just bounce around. She is a wonderfully graceful dancer, right? Are you getting a picture in your head of what graceful means? Elegant, moving smoothly. When you watch, you know, some of those pro football Vikings or what, you know, when they just go up and they thread through the crowd and they catch that ball, and it's just looks effortless. Because they do that all the time,
yeah.
Right? So it doesn't always just have to be actions, though. He admired the graceful proportions of the architecture. You know, Dory's over in Europe right now, right? Seeing some of this 1,000-year-old and 2,000-year-old architecture that's graceful. It's not clunky. It's not blocky. It's not grotesque. It's smooth and elegant and beautiful. The trees, slender and graceful, swayed gently above us. Anyone been out to Seachy Hollow yet this year? Yeah? Beautiful leaves, right? With a silent, graceful dive, she vanished beneath the surface of the lake. You get this serenity, this picture of everything working right and flowing. Is an essence of beauty involved with it. It's there's not needless motions or wasted. It's not, like I said before, clunky or awkward or grotesque. It's beautiful. It's enticing. It's wonderful. So gracious, we talk about graceful, and we're just talking about English words here. Gracious, if someone is gracious, what comes to mind if you think of the words gracious? Someone is gracious. Just let's dwell on that for a second. What's that? Exactly. Gracious, yeah. Or you might say, that wasn't very gracious. Meaning you probably had a right to get angry about it, but you weren't very gracious, right? Like you maybe had a reason to respond, but if you would have been more gracious, you wouldn't have responded like that. It's like a kind of, let's look at it. Actually, if I only I had a slide with it defined on there. Hey, there we go. It's marked by kindness and courtesy and by being compassionate. It's characterized by charm, good taste, generosity of spirit, and the tasteful leisure of wealth. You know, these are all kind of wrapped up in the English word of gracious. So we looked at graceful, and now we're looking at gracious. Is these heart positions, these attitudes, these actions of being kind and courteous and being compassionate. From vocabulary.com. Dictionary site that says gracious descends from the Latin word for goodwill. A gracious person, say a gracious person. What does a gracious person want? I'm glad you asked. Wants everyone to be comfortable. A gracious host leaves extra blankets and some books on a variety of subjects out for overnight guests to enjoy. Even at a difficult moment, a gracious person remains thoughtful and kind, like the gracious way you treat a waiter who spills a glass of juice on your lap. So there's a response. So if a waiter spills juice on your lap, you are, I suppose, justified or entitled to get upset and to not give them a tip and to get angry and to maybe yell at them a little bit. You should not do that, but you would be within your rights. Does that make sense? Like it would be appropriate for you to do that. It just is not beneficial. So what gracious is it cuts off what might be natural, and graciousness says, we're going to take a bad situation and we're going to make it beautiful. We're going to inject beauty into this situation that's full of not beauty. You with me? Remember how the deer's bounding through the woods, the gazelle, the divers, the dancer, right? That's beautiful. It's delightful. Gracious, if you have a gracious response, you take something, a situation that could be ugly, like it has built-in ugliness, not intentionally, they didn't mean to spill that, but there was a justified ugliness that could happen there. Why can't you pay attention? It's not that hard to carry a glass of juice, right? It takes maybe a justified, I don't mean it's right, I mean it just would be justified for you to get angry, and it injects beauty. Say beauty. It injects beauty into a situation. That's what graciousness does. It's beautiful. Okay. The Bible Project says in both Hebrew and English, the word grace can describe not only how we treat others, but as well as how we present ourselves. So let's go back to Hanun and Chen. And, because we translate, that I was I thought I had a duplicate, but I see what I'm doing here. Sometimes you have to figure out what you're doing here. So Hanun is gracious. Hen is grace. We also translate hen, the lady chicken. So we've got a raccoon and a lady chicken so far. Right? So hen, we translate that grace. There's also another word that in our English that it gets translated as. Favor. So grace and favor are two English translations that carry a lot of the same meaning of that Hebrew word chen. So I want you to see this. We're going to read in Proverbs here. 4:7-9. It says, wisdom is supreme. So get wisdom. And whatever else you get understanding, right? These are Proverbs to guide our life and to help us prosper. So cherish her. Who's the her? It's wisdom, okay? So cherish her and she will exalt you. If you embrace her, she will honor you. Wisdom will place a garland or a wreath of hen on your head. She will give you a crown of beauty. So what Solomon is trying to say is if you embrace wisdom, if you chase after wisdom, if you say, it says in one of the Proverbs, if you say to wisdom, you are my sister, to understanding, you're my kinsman. If you pursue wisdom and treat wisdom well, wisdom will in return give you a crown of hen, of gracefulness. It's favor. It's beauty. It's this goodness that wisdom will bestow upon you. Very interesting. So the Bible Project says that in this verse here that we just read, grace here is being connected to aesthetic beauty. Wisdom is compared to a beautiful crown of grace or chen. Elegant and beautiful things. Catch this, because here's some of the nuance. So we're going to read this next paragraph. There's kind of a theme here. Elegant and beautiful things are sources of hen. Hen, right? So a beautiful dancer is a source. Like that's where the hen is being distributed. That's a source of hen. And they cause the viewer or listener to respond with hen. Grace is not just the beauty of an object, but how it is perceived by the observer. Grace generates a favorable response. So the beauty of a sunset, it's the hen of God to grace us with that beauty, the display, the delight of it. But it also generates how many people when you're walking by and you're like, oh, stop, hey, like look at that, right? You know what it generated in you? Hen. It's a response of grace to the grace that's. I know this is. Wiry and tangled up, but we're trying to define a word that there's no word in English that really captures all of it. So it's this, not only the source of hen, but it's meant to issue a response in the viewer that sees the grace. I know that's kind of confusing, but let that kind of soak in. I spend all week with this stuff and then I try to preach it and you see how confused I am. So I get it if you're like trying to follow along, but hopefully we'll get better as the years go on here. A very common biblical phrase, the Bible Project says, that appears 47 times is the phrase to find chen in his or her eyes, to find favor. In other words, to find favor or delight in someone's eyes. This phrase is a request for someone to look upon you as favorable or desirable. Right? So the ballet dancer, the NFL receiver, the sunset, the crown of beauty, the jewel in the necklace, all sources of chen. But when we want to find favor, find chen with someone else, we are wanting to be that object of delight for them. Does that make sense? I know it's kind of weird. So if you're going in to talk to your boss and someone says, oh, bring them like, coffee cake. They love coffee cake. You're trying to find chen. Does that make sense? You're trying to get it. Oh, English, I just thought of this. English phrase, to get in their good graces. Grace, great, get in their good hens. Never thought of that. Okay. You're trying to elicit chen. I want you to have chen towards me, to see me as an object of chen, of desirability, of beauty, of, like, 47 times. So Esther, when she walked into the king, if you walk into the king uninvited, is for such a time as this, you know, Mordecai, her uncle, saying, she's like, oh, I can't go in there uninvited. He's going to kill you. You're like, you don't just walk in there. The law is you get executed unless the king reaches out his scepter to touch you. And Mordecai's like, dude, little lady, like, you might think you're something. He didn't say that, but he's like, listen to me. I don't want to lose a relative here. But at the same time, if it's not you, then God will raise up someone else. Who knows if you're not born for such a time as this? So, see, you wouldn't want to be I hope it all works out, but, you know, let's go do it. That's the story. That's where that verse is at. And so Esther walks in and found chen in the eyes of the king. He reached out the scepter. That's what chen is. When it talks about the king's face brightening, not in that story, but in other Proverbs and stuff, and it's, when someone walks in the room, you're like that? Yeah. Everyone practice that. Run, two, three. Right? Yeah, exactly. We wanted to brighten our face, right? And that's like when you see something, that's the response of chen. Oh, right? It's this delight and beauteous response at the source of chen that I'm seeing. So there's this exchange. So we want to find favor. Ever heard the word favor it? Yes. It's the most chenny thing that you want, right? It's your favor it. It's the thing that's endowed with the most favor. The most chen. All right, I think we're getting it. I think we're seeing a trend here. And so sometimes I love that Wednesday night we talked about in James about favorites in a bad context. And I said, that's so cool that both of them, my research for Sundays and research for what, they didn't mean to be crossing paths, but they were some of the same research. I'm like, that's really cool. So to find favor, we all know what favorite means. It's the thing for you that's the most full of chen. It's the most gracious thing, like pie for me, chen. Chen has it written all over it. Love it. So that's what favor and delight are when we're talking about chen. Okay. The Bible shows us that favor is the natural response to displays of beauty called grace. What is unusual and uniquely biblical is that the highest form of grace is when favor is given towards those who don't deserve it. Now, this is what we in Christianity, in New Testament Christianity, that's how we define grace. That is such a small definition. It's accurate, and it's applicable, and it's good. But we're missing a lot of the nuance of the awesomeness of what grace really is. And it's, I was saying Wednesday night that in my research for this, I found out that there was literal writings in Greek and in the Roman world, in Latin, talking about how you are a fool if you give chen, or in Greek it would be charis, if you give favor or you give grace to someone who can't repay you. Are you with me? Like, if you give a gift to someone who cannot give a gift back to you, there was actually protocol calling you stupid. Like, in baked into society, how that's a dumb thing. And I had the word. I couldn't think of the word. I had it all week, and now I lost it again. But it's like giving thought to your ways, kind of. That's kind of the word. But anyways, indiscriminately. Yes, that's the word. I tried to think of it all Wednesday night, and I could not come up with it. That you are indiscriminate, that's a word that we translate into our language indiscriminately, and that was part of the language of why you're so dumb. You are indiscriminately giving gifts. And that was a recipe for societal shun and personal disaster. You don't give gifts to people who can't give gifts back. Christianity comes along and we find in Christ that we got a gift that we didn't deserve. So there's this uniquely biblical way of looking at chen, or looking at grace, or charis, or whatever language that we're in today, English, Greek, or Hebrew, that gift giving. So, and it wasn't looked at, like we would look at it as kind of like bribes, but it's not meaning that. There was a positive sense of like going to the DMV with a pie or a cake, so he could get first in line. Like, that wasn't frowned upon. That wasn't seen as shifty or shady or whatever. It was appropriate. And so that's what gifts were for. You didn't just give gifts to someone because you just felt out of the goodness of your heart. You were frowned upon. And along comes Jesus, and he's like, no, we give chen freely. We give that to people that don't deserve it. So that's the biblical position on that. So here we go, the two words of God. Compassionate, what are the difference? So last time we learned that compassion is this feeling of being deeply moved to action by suffering a condition of another, right? This motherly yearning to help their kids get out of suffering. And then gracious, it means giving a gift of favor and beauty out of delight. That's not what we deserve, but it flows out of generosity and the blessing of the giver. Let's see if we can... because gracious is the second characteristic of God that we're learning about. Let's go to Isaiah, and let's look at one verse in Isaiah and see if we can get excited about that. I think we can get excited about it. Yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. Everyone say, yay. Yay. Therefore, he will rise up to show you compassion, for the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all who wait for him. Let's pick this apart just a little bit before we're done for the day. The Lord longs to be gracious to you. The Lord longs. Say longs. Some versions say waits. The Lord longs or waits to be gracious to you. And I don't like the feeling of the word waits. Why are you waiting to be gracious to me? Don't wait. Hurry up. Right? If you want to be gracious to me, then just do it already. Yeah. Be gracious. Don't wait for it. But here, it's really interesting. The word longs, it's number 2442 in the Strong's Concordance, if you want to look up. Ha ha. That kind of sounds like a parrot. Ha ha. A crow, yep. A crow, an old crow. But the Lord long, it means to adhere to. Hence, to await, to long, to yearn for, and to wait. So it doesn't mean wait in the sense of, I'm going to take some time for this. It means, I really want to, but it's not yet. Callie right now, haka's for Christmas. Once in a while, we take turns praying at home for the meal. And we don't always understand all of Callie's words, but right now it's, we'll pray for the food, okay? And if some snowflakes, some presents, some Santa Claus, some Christmas, and bless the food in Jesus' name. Man. She's singing Christmas songs. She is haka for Christmas. She's longing. She's waiting. Why is she waiting? Because it's not time yet. But she's not intentionally allowing there to be a distance chronologically. It is what it is. She wishes it was here right now, right? And this longing, so here's the deal. If you are waiting for Christmas, Christmas is gonna come whether she hakas for it or not. Christmas will show up unless Jesus comes back. But she can choose to haka or not. It has to do with the adherent, the sticking to it, and the longing of it. So if she just decides, this is taking too long, I'm done. She no longer haka. She's still waiting for Christmas, but waiting in what we think of the English word for waiting, where time is just going by. Yep, well, she's waiting. She'll get presents. She's waiting for them to come. But there's not this longing to or sticking to it or yearning for it. You with me? That we're defining this word haka, this longing to adhere to. So this sticking to it, this Van and Onai, one of my favorite stories. Just love it. You guys, haka. Yep. Onai was over here every Sunday. Come to get prayer so we can get Van here, right? And after a couple times, Onai was like, maybe I just won't be married anymore. This is taking too long. No, she stuck to it and longed to be with the person that, I mean, come on, Vaughn is amazing. He's like, he's a specimen of a man, right? He is just a godly guy. And why would you not long for him to be with you? So that's what this word means. I'm waiting for it, but not because I choose to wait or I want to wait just to pass the time. I'm waiting in a position that I'm stuck to this. I'm longing for this to happen. I'm just the second that it can, I'm on it, man. We're in the position. When the lineman that's waiting for the ball to snap. Like you're just quivering. Like you're just like as soon as that thing moves, I'm there. That's haka. The Lord is in that position to be gracious to you. Hold on. Church, this is in the Bible. Come on. The Lord, yet the Lord longs. He's stuck to it. The Lord's like, not, oh, should I be gracious today? No, I'm just going to walk away. He's stuck and he's committed to that position. The God of heaven and earth is committed to the position of being gracious to you. And that just doesn't mean unmerited favor. It means all this stuff, the delightful beauty, freely giving graciousness of God. That's what he wants to do for you. And he's in that position, longing for that moment to happen.
He's just waiting for us.
He's waiting for us. So therefore.
Therefore.
And Pastor always used to say, when you see a therefore, you got to find out what it's there for. So, because the Lord longs to be gracious, therefore, he's going to show you compassion. Do you know that those haka and rakum, they're only in the Bible 13 times, and 11 out of the 13, they're together. God wants to be gracious and compassionate, and he longs to do that. Because of his longing to be gracious to you, he's going to show you compassion. For the God is a God, for God, our Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all who wait for him. Oh, a little insight here. Same word. Strong number 2442. Haka. If you want to experience the graciousness and compassion of the Lord and you want to be blessed, who wants to be blessed? Then you need to wait and long and position yourself and stick to this longing for the Lord in my life. Not a casual, hey God, if you can help me today, that'd be great. No, come on. You're waiting for that ball to snap. Come on. I am on this thing. When God shows up, I'm chasing after you. I'm not giving up. I'm leaning into this. When my problems keep rearing their ugly head and my mind is tempted to say, well, where is God and all this? No, haka. I'm waiting to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Come on. The Lord longs to be gracious for you, to you, and show you compassion. Blessed are you if you haka and long for him to do that. There's this reciprocal graciousness. The Bible Project says that God names this full understanding of grace as one of his attributes. And in the New Testament, the writers see Jesus as the ultimate realization of God's chen to all people. One verse, one set of verses in the New Testament, and we'll wind down. The Word became flesh in John 1, 14 and 16 through 18. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We observed his glory, the glory as the one and only Son from the Father, full of chen, full of grace and truth, or this would be charis, but same word. Indeed, we have all received grace upon grace from his fullness. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus. No one has ever seen God. The one and only Son, who is himself God, talking about Jesus, and is at the Father's side, has revealed him. Jesus has revealed this chen, this grace, this graciousness of God to us. Just about done. I got two word slides and one picture slide. We're done. Some things have an inherent attribute of grace in that they're enjoyable and delightful. And that when you experience those, you respond with favor or chen towards those things. It's just the natural way the world works. What the Bible Project is saying here is the sunset is naturally full of chen. It's gracious beauty. And when we respond with grace and beauty and appreciation. Okay? This is Holland, Michigan. Tell you what, Michigan is a beautiful place. We've got beautiful people from Michigan here today. We're very excited about that. And we were walking down the streets of Holland, and we were getting ready to go, I'm sure, eat somewhere wonderful. And we were stopped by Hen. It was the beauty of this lady violin player playing, oh, not just classical music, but it just captured our, it captivated us. We just, Marnie and I looked at each other, we went, whoa, and we just sat down. And we had somewhere to be. We were going to probably 17 more towns that day or whatever, just how our vacations work. But we stopped what we were doing, and we just sat. Oh, and then beauty and graciousness was just produced in us, and generosity, and we gave money. Not because you're supposed to, but it elicited that response, this chen. So in this sense, it's not unmerited favor. Grace is not unmerited favor in this sense. It was very much merited. It was this beautiful display of chen, which elicited a response of chen in us. That is as much grace as what we think of as grace. It's just that the Bible adds one more layer to it. And so this was chen, and it was a beautiful moment. And she had beautiful playing, and it just, our hearts were enraptured. Last slide, Bible Project says this: however, you can decide to respond to something that is not delightful with delight, and you're still showing grace, but now there's generosity to it. So when someone comes and asks God to have grace on them, listen to this, or for a person to have grace on them when they don't deserve it, what you're asking is, hey, see me as delightful and beautiful, even though I'm not. That's what grace is. I want to find favor in your eyes, even though I'm unfavorable. The example with the violin, that's merited chen. It's still very much chen. But the graciousness of God is unmerited in this instance. We come to Jesus going, man, I don't deserve this, but I want you to see me as favorable. I want you to see me as beautiful. I want you to see me as good, even though I know I'm not good. But because of the cross, because of the blood of Jesus, because of that sacrifice, that chen is poured out on people that don't deserve it. How cool is that? Jesus is the ultimate example of chen. I hope you learned a new word. I hope you got some insight to the depth of grace. I mean, we swung through fast, but it's so rich and beautiful. And the grace of God is so good. Let's pray. Father, I just pray for a revelation of your grace. God, you said you are gracious and compassionate. Help us to know that when we encounter God, that's who we're encountering, the gracious and compassionate God. I pray for an amazing week. We pray that we would be people of chen and walk in graciousness and beauty this week. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. Hey, guys, have an awesome week. There's going to be a prayer team here if you need prayer today. God is a dispenser of chen today. Amen.